pray together. Rise on your feet. Commit yourself to the Lord in prayer, that the Lord will help you to endure to the very edge. Easy to start, easy to begin, but then to plug on and to trudge on, run on without flinching or looking back. Enduring till the very end. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord, that the Lord will so help you that you'll not give up in the middle of the journey. You're on the race to the very end. The strength to do that, the grace to do that, the power to do that, the resistance to do that, and the obedience to the Lord to do that, that the Lord will grant it unto you, that this race you're running to the very, very edge. Talk to the Lord in prayer, that the Lord himself will help you in this race and this journey. Heaven is the goal. It will have your mind fixed, your heart fixed, fixed on God, and your mind set on things above. That things of this world will not draw you back, pull you back, tie you down. Your thoughts, your mind, your action, your behavior, your decision, your consecration, your commitment, your surrender, your submission will go down to the very, very edge. No looking back, no going back, no sliding back. And in this race to the very edge. In Jesus' name we pray. And the persevering people of God said, Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We bless your name, because we know you have enough grace, sufficient grace to carry us through. We have started the journey. We have laid our hands on the plow. We are going to look back. We are praying, Lord, the strength to continue, the decision to continue, the ability to continue. Give to everyone in Jesus' name. We have stepped on this highway to the promised land. Nothing will turn us back. Nothing will change our mind. Whatever trial, temptation, trouble, whatever trauma may come, we know you are able to see us through. We are going through, and we are going to go through in Jesus' name. Help your people today, that Lord will also plant our feet on the solid rock, and no storm, no waves will be able to change our decision. We'll go through to the very edge. We'll rest on you and depend upon your grace. And we know you're going to lead us through to the very end in Jesus' name. We'll thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you very much. We can sit down. God bless every one of us. In Matthew chapter 10, we're looking at verse 22. Matthew chapter 10, looking at verse 22, here the Lord himself said, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Here the word of God tells us from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Matthew records that for us. And he says, yes, we're looking up to the Lord. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we're now in the kingdom. Yes, he has saved us and sanctified us and set us apart, and we have surrendered our lives to the Lord. He has even sanctified us and baptized us in Holy Ghost. And now he says, that's not the end. That's just the beginning of the journey. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Which is telling us then that as you have laid your hand on the plow, you will not look back. I said you will not look back. And every one of us, we are going to endure to the end in Jesus' name. Mark chapter 13, verse 13. You'll never forget this, 13, 13. It's Mark. Mark chapter 13, verse 13. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Once again, what Matthew had said, Mark is also saying and emphasizing Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, here the Lord himself is saying it, but he says it another way. Luke chapter 9 verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. It says looking back is dangerous. Turning back is dangerous. Drawing back is deadly. It says when you put your hand on the plow, it wants us to continue and continue and continue to the very end. We're looking at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're looking at verse 31. They said, Jesus of those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. To continue until the end. That's the secret of getting to heaven. It's not just to say, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm laying my hand on the plow, I'm believing on the Lord. Yes, that's good, but that's just the beginning. He wants us to continue to the very end. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, we're looking at verse 25 and verse 26. But that which ye have, which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Isn't that also about the end? Till I come. That's the very end. It says what you have, hold it fast. You know, in these changing times, there are people that will try to change and turn things around. They believed in repentance before, but no more. They believed in righteousness before, but no more. They believed in restitution before, but no more. But Jesus said, that which ye have already, hold fast until I come. Gone were the days for them when they believed in sanctification, holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. But they have dropped that. They're now for just merriment and healing and deliverance and prosperity and other things like that. But the Lord is saying, that which I've given unto you, that sanctification, that holiness, and the marriage, one man, one wife, until death do us part. And that a believer will not marry an unbeliever. Hold it fast until I come. The humility, the submission, the giving yourself unto the Lord, laying everything upon the altar, and then fighting against worldliness. That you're not allowed those things of the world to be upon your life, to be upon your wife, to be upon your daughters and sons. It says that which you have already. You hold fast until I come. And then all the messages on evangelism, the messages on depending upon the Lord, until he sees us through, that we are not begging people, because he says we shall not borrow. He'll make us to be the head and not the tail. He'll provide for our need. We're not depending upon people to sustain us. We're depending upon the Lord. And we're not making a man an idol, a woman an idol. We're depending upon God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. We're loving the Lord and trusting the Lord. He says that faith you have in God, that he is your all in all, and he is your redeemer, he is your savior, he is your Lord, he is your deliverer, and he is your sanctifier, he is your sufficiency, he is your supplier, he is your shepherd, he is your sin bearer, and he is your substitute. That which you got already, you hold fast until he comes, and not allow anything to blow you off and get you off, and then you come into another kind of watered down gospel. Even if people hate you because of what you stand for, even if they hate you because of the life you live, that which you have already, hold it fast until I come. In verse 20 says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, he says, it is those people to him I will give power over the nations. I pray you'll be among us. I said you'll be among us, and then you'll reign forever and ever in Jesus' name. Revelation chapter 22, I'm reading from verse 18. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Every man, in every generation, in every denomination, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Then it says, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. You know, there are people that try to do that. They take it away. Or they say, you know, the present generation will not bear, will not accept, will not live by the standard of the word of God. And if you're keeping to all those words from Genesis Revelation, that your church will not grow. And because they want the church to grow, they want a crowd for the world and not a crowd for heaven. They say because of that, tone down, slow down, take it off, and don't preach everything anymore. And the Lord is saying to such people, he says, if any man in any generation, any man in any denomination, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. I've read to you from Matthew, from Mark, from Luke, from John, and then from Revelation, telling you and opening it up to you that the Lord wants us to run the race till the end, and endurance race to the end. We're going to endure till the end, and we're going to keep the word of God until the end in Jesus' name. We don't know when Jesus will come. He might come today, and if he comes today, I pray all of us will be ready in Jesus' name. He may not come today, you know. He may not come tomorrow. He may not come this year. He may not come in another year. He may not come in another 20 years, 30 years. We don't know. We don't know. But the point is this. What if he delays his coming? And what if your pastor, your dear superintendent, goes away before he comes? And then another leader, another pastor, another superintendent, another overseer takes over. You know, that overseer might say, Kumi's time is gone. The former GS father of deeper life is gone. I am the one here now. And so now we're going to change everything. We're not going to believe this anymore, and this anymore, and this anymore, and that anymore. The Lord is telling us, such a person, his name will be out of the book of life. His name will be out of the blessings that are reaching in the book. Whenever Jesus is coming, hold fast everything you know, everything you have learned, the whole word of God, without diminishing and without any addition, just the word. Whether people increase or whether they decrease, whether people flock in, they flow in, or they draw back, here is the word of the Lord. We're going to hold on until he comes. If the Lord has served us for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 35 years, it will help us till the end of the race. I said it will help us till the end of the race. And then it will be an enduring race to the very end. We're looking at this message under three subtitles. Number one, warning and encouragement for Christian pilgrims. Warning and encouragement for Christian pilgrims. Number two, willfulness and exclusion of corrupted people. The willfulness and the corruption and the exclusion of corrupted people. Number three, watchfulness and endurance through constant perseverance. You'll be among the people that are watching, and you're going to endure to the end in Jesus' name. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are reaching for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let he that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, there are some people that are overconfident. Like Peter, when the Lord was saying, you will betray me, you will say you never knew me, you will draw back, you will forget me, the living word. You'll forget me, the living waters. You'll forget me, the one that came from heaven to draw you into the kingdom. And he said, never, never, never. Why don't you pray? Why don't you watch? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, he said, not necessary. And he slept. And eventually, you know the end of the story. Watch. We find all these people in Bible days, they started, they couldn't finish. And the word of God says in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. For whatsoever things were reaching aforetime, were reaching for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. It says all the things that were reaching about the children of Israel. Many of them started, they couldn't finish. It's a warning for you, a warning for me. And it is an encouragement to you that Caleb continued until the end, Joshua continued until the end, and if God helps those people, it will help you, it will help you in Jesus' name. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Hebrews chapter 10, we're looking at verse 35. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Your confidence in the Lord, don't cast that away. Your faith in the Lord, don't cast that away. Your steadfastness in the Lord, don't cast that away. And your faithfulness, don't cast that away. And your tenacity, holding on. And saying, whatever comes and whatever goes, whatever happens and whatever does not happen, I'm going to hold on to the very end. That confidence of faith, and that confidence of devotion, and that confidence of determination. Hold it, hold on to it. Hold it fast until it comes. In the start it says, for ye have need of patience, ye have need of perseverance, ye have need of tenacity, holding on there after ye have done the will of God, that she might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by what? Tell me out loud. Anytime fear is coming in your heart, you'll be wobbling. Anytime fear is coming upon your heart, the fear of you know, will they take this away from me? Will they keep it for to me? Will they keep it for me? Anytime fear is coming, you'll not walk straight. You become unjust. You know, fear makes you unjust. Fear makes you insincere. Fear makes you hypocritical. But it's faith that makes you sincere. Faith makes you honest. You say, what is mine will be mine. It doesn't matter what people say, what people do. Where he wants me to get to, I will get there. It doesn't matter what people say, what people do. My inheritance is mine. My treasure is mine. And all the provision of the Lord has given to me, they are mine. When you are walking by faith, you will be just. But you know, when fear sets in, like the children of Israel, they feared the Egyptians at the Red Sea. That's when they were crying. The cry of unbelief. And then when they came out, and then there was no food to eat, what shall we eat? And they cried again, the cry of unbelief. And when the Amalekites came against them, and then they cried again, look at it now, look at the trouble we have. The cry of unbelief. In fact, you know what? The Moabites, it was a fight of unbelief. Why? Because the Lord told Moses, said, you see, all those Ammonites and the Moabites, you will not touch their property. I have given their property unto them, the descendants of Lot. Therefore, just go through their land. Don't touch anything belonging to them. It is their inheritance. But you know, Balak, walking by unbelief, he went to hire Balaam. Why? Not necessary. Already God had told Moses, he said, don't touch anything belonging to the Moabites and the Ammonites. But because of unbelief, it was a fight of unbelief that kind of exterminated and destroyed all those Moabites. But why don't we believe in God? What is mine is mine. What is yours. What is ours, We don't have to change the Bible. We don't have to compromise. We don't have to walk in unbelief. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, anybody going to draw back there? I said, anybody planning on drawing back there? If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back. I will not draw back. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We believe, we keep on believing, and we're going to keep on believing to the very end in Jesus' name. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm reading from verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery, every man that striveth for the mastery, every man that striveth for the mastery. You know what the Lord wants? He wants us to set our eyes on the mastery, on excellence, on perfection, on getting to the very end and running the race courageously to the very end. And you know, there are some people that will say, this is good enough. How good is good enough? How good is good enough? When it's not excellent, when it's not perfect, when you are not walking by faith, when you are wobbling, when you are kind of distracted here and distracted here, if this is good enough, go to the very end, and you're striving for the mastery, you're striving for excellence, you're striving for perfection. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate, is controlled, is denying himself in all things. Now the deed shall obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. You know, sometimes your body can rebel against you. You want to go this way, your mind is saying, there's a lion on the way. Bring that mind to subjection. You want to climb this mountain, and your mind is saying, if you try to climb that mountain, you will stop breathing by the middle, because your strength cannot carry you through. You are going to bring that mind onto subjection, and sometimes you are running and running, and you are running a race, and then your leg is saying, hey, I am tired, and your back, the pain is there, and your back is saying, I'm collapsing, and your hands cannot move very well anymore, and your hands are telling you, you cannot keep on running like this, it's going to be terrible. It's when you bring everything to subjection. And you know, sometimes, not just your body, it will be people. It will be people that, you know, will try to stop you and try to kind of stop your journey. You know, sometimes I say, look at the things that the Lord has brought our way this year. I've been to, you know, this country and that state and that place and that other place. And there was a time, you know, just I came back from one of these programs, and somebody called from outside Nigeria and said, hello, how are you? Oh, he said, Pastor, looks like you are belaboring yourself. Your voice is not like it used to be. I said, why do you say that? And then he said, looks like, you know, too much pressure, too much activity. Why not slow down, Pastor? Because the way I hear your voice, it's like, you know, this is not you. I said, don't talk like that. Maybe it is your line over there. Maybe it's your service provider over there. The service provider from heaven is giving me all the strength I need. Don't worry about that. Praise the Lord. But you know what I'm telling you, this is that another person phoned another hour from another place. Another place, the same day. And then I said, hello, how are you? How are you doing there? He said, Pastor, what's wrong with your voice? Looks like your voice is not. Looks like you need some rest. I said, how do you say that? He said, because it looks like you have been running up and down, and your voice is not like it ought to be. You know, if I thought about what people say, it will make me to say, okay, maybe what God wants me to do is too much. Maybe the pressure is too much. Maybe like they are saying. And you know, the devil can orchestrate everything. This one saying, this one saying, this one saying, that one saying. And eventually you crumble. But it says, I bring all that under subjection. Whatever people say, however people commit, and whatever it is people are talking about, you bring it under subjection. But I keep under my body. You'll keep it under subjection. I said, you'll keep it under subjection and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I appeal to others, I myself should be a castaway. You will not be a castaway. You are going to run this race to the very end, and the Lord will help you in Jesus' name. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're looking at verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profit may appear to all. Take heed to thyself. The thoughts that come into you, the ideas that come into you, and the proposals your mind may be making, change this a little, adjust this a little, touch this a little, and then move this around a little, and don't be as serious as you were before. The storms will come. But it says, take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. All the doctrine, all the doctrine, all the doctrine. You know, I travel around quite a lot, and I see what other Christians do. I see what other so-called believers, what they do. And I see some things they bring into their service and to their worship, which I don't find in the Word of God. And some of them, sometimes, they're even so near and familiar and friendly. And you say, Pastor so-and-so, why don't you consider this and consider this? Thank you very much, thank you very much. You go your way. Maybe you have liberty to do that. I don't have liberty to do that. I don't have liberty to change the Bible, adjust the Bible, modify the Bible. mutilate the Bible. I want to stand by the word. We're going to stand together on the word to the very end in Jesus' name. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Point number two, willfulness and exclusion of corrupted people. The willfulness of the children of Israel, the hard-heartedness of the children of Israel, and the hot heads of the children of Israel to exalt their own opinions about the doctrines of the Bible, about the wishes of the Lord, about the desires of the Lord. Willfulness, that means obstinate, obstinacy, determination to have their own way against and contrary to the way of the Lord. The willfulness that excluded them, those corrupted people. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Then it says, listen to this, but with many of them God was not well pleased. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. They started right. They all came out of the land of Egypt. And as they were going on and going on and going on, some things came in. Things that were not there before. Desires that were not there before. Ideas that were not there before. Idolatry, raising up the calf to worship that wasn't there before. The dancing, even naked, among the children of Israel, when Moses went to the top of the mountain to collect the law. The dancing that wasn't there before. A lot of things that were not there before. All those things came in. And with many of them, God was not well pleased, but they were overthrown in the wilderness. They didn't get through until the promised land. You will get through. I said you will get through. You will be like Caleb. You will be like Joshua. With all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, you will pull through in Jesus' name. Why were they overthrown in the wilderness? Verse 7, neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither be idolaters. You know, there are people that will begin to use what they call their common sense, corrupted sense. And they will say, food is food. Whether it is coming from the shrine, or it is coming from a friend, or it's coming from your family, food is food. Common sense, corrupted sense. And they began to eat things, sacrifice unto idols. That's why God was not pleased with them. And they sat down to eat and to drink and to play. Then in verse 8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed. The people that are on, they are not married. Why are you not married? Why don't you get married? The Bible says to avoid fornication. Let everyone have his own wife. And let everyone have her own husband. And there are some people, they are proving that they are strong. And they are proving that they can hold themselves. And they say, wife, I don't need a wife. Husband, I don't need a husband. And in the secret, they commit fornication. Why do you want to fool yourself and then go to hell? Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. neither murmur ye, neither murmur ye, neither murmur ye. You know, they murmured against God, against Moses, the leader. You know, there are things we never did. We never did when we became Christians. Never, never murmuring against leadership in the church. Never. I know in my personal life, and those who knew me when I was very young as a Christian, they will testify. And when my pastor at that time, when he was against me, he didn't hide it. I remember when the church one Sunday morning and the preacher was preaching, he was unhappy with me. And you see, he was unhappy was because I knew how to play the keyboard. But it was the understanding in that church that if you are not saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost of the evidence of speaking in tongues, you'll not be allowed to do any work in the church. You're not even cleaning the floor. And so I'd done all my music, and I'd done the theory, I'd done the practice. I could play the keyboard, all the things I could play, but I wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost at that time. I became baptized in the Holy Ghost 1974, the 23rd of October. But this was about 1969. And then he was preaching and preaching and preaching. And then he mentioned my, he said, Kumuyi. Then I rose up, he said, sit down. They know book, they don't have Holy Ghost. And they know they can write with the leg and write with the hand, but they're not serious. And they're just there. Sit down. I didn't run away from the church because of that. That discipline was open, public, and he even mentioned my name. I even stood up and see maybe he wanted to ask me a question, and then he just said, you know, belittled me in the public like that. I didn't run away. If you're a real child of God, rebuke can come, correction can come, discipline can come. But you know, there are people today, they cannot bear it. They'll be murmuring and murmuring. After we came out of that church that Sunday morning, I never said a word to my friend who was in the church with me that day. And that friend is still in that church, but he came to see me, I think, last month. And we still discussed together. And since that time, I never, never, never murmured about that pastor. You see, when you understand that this is what the Lord is calling you to, you're not going to be murmuring against your pastor, against your leader, against the overseer, against the Jewish superintendent. You know, the people that take laws into their hands. But it will make you to backslide. You will not backslide. I said you will not backslide. If there's anything you're doing for your pastor, it's praying for your pastor. And if I take any step, if I take any decision, don't you understand? You want to murmur because of that? You just say, well, he's older than we are. He knows the Bible more than we know. He sees farther than we know. He has the Spirit of God more than we have. And if he says anything or does anything, maybe he knows something about the situation. That's why he did what he did. You'll excuse your pastor. You're not murmur against your pastor. Your pastor, you want to get to heaven. It says in Numbers 10, neither murmur ye. And some of them also murmured, and they were destroyed of the destroyed. Look at verse 11. Now all these happened unto them, for example, and they are reaching for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 6. Now these things were for examples to the intent, for the purpose we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. We know the history of those people. They couldn't get in, but we are going to get in. I said we are going to get in. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm reading there from verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take it, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart departing from the living God. And then it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Don't allow your friend to be hardened by sinning and sinning. and saying, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. And it's your friend. Exhort one another every day. That's not good. That's not right. That's a part of backsliding. Come back, come back. And it says in verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? In verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Murmuring, it was because of unbelief. They had lost, it was because of unbelief. And that's why they couldn't enter in. You will enter in. I said you will enter in. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. If we sin deliberately, intentionally, willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. When somebody knows that something is wrong, and he says, I know it's wrong, I know the word of God, I can even preach against it, I know the chapter, I know the verse, but I'm going to do it all the same. I told you the other day, it's like a person saying, doctor, wait for me there and treat me when I'm through. I'm going to drink poison. Don't drink it, don't drink it. I said I'm going to drink it. If I die, I die. But stay around so that, doctor, you help me and give me the antidote. But I'm going to drink it deliberately. That person is going to die. No remedy. And when somebody knows that sin is poisonous, and sin will make the Spirit of God leak away from your life, make the anointing to leak away from your life, and can stop your opportunity, and can completely take away what God has given you, and said, I know, but I'm going to do it all the same. It's like Uzzah knowing, here is the ark of the Lord, and we're taking it to the place where the Lord has said, don't touch it, don't touch it. Just put poles here and poles there and carry it on your shoulder. Yes, we know that's what the Bible says, but we're going to have a cart, and we're going to allow a horse, a mule, an ass to draw it, and then the thing shook, and then Uzzah stretched out his hand and touched it. He died right there. It's like the young prophet. Don't come back by the same way that you have gone. Don't eat there and don't drink there. And the king said, come home with me and ease yourself. Come home with me, refresh yourself. And he said, I may not do it, because here is the watch of the Lord for me. And he says, I go here, I take another way and come back. Don't eat there and don't drink there. And he came back and then was resting on the way. My friend, young prophet, is that what the Lord told you? Rest on the way. Stay down there and be relaxing. And then what we're told is, the old prophet came and said, are you the man that came from Bethlehem, Judah? Yes, I am. I'm here. A prophet like you are. And he just spoke to me and he said, I should bring you back. And he went back. What happened to him? I said, what happened to him? He was killed by a lion. Think about that. If we sin willfully, deliberately doing what we shouldn't do. I don't think there's anybody in this church that will say, I've not, you know, read almost all the Bible to you. Monday Bible study, Sunday worship, Thursday revival hour. I've read almost the whole Bible to you. And sometimes, you know, even go out of my way, make it practical, give illustration, give illustration. You'll not say you don't know. And then after you have heard, than to say, I'm going to go my own way. That's deadly, that's dangerous, that's deceptive. Don't do that. In verse 26 again, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. You will not be an adversary. You will not be an enemy of Christ. You will not be an enemy of the cross. You will not be an enemy of the church. You will not be an enemy of the doctrines of the Bible. Give me a good amen. Amen. In verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy sin, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, says the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. Verse 31, everybody read it out loud. Once you go, once again, brothers and sisters, now for the last time, God bless you. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, there are people that are so familiar with God, and they can do anything they want to do, and sin deliberately, steal deliberately, commit fornication deliberately, go into adultery deliberately, and they're not afraid that the husband of that lady or that woman may know, and the Lord can expose you, and the man in the fury of the moment can kill you and send you to hell prematurely. The people that do not understand, you can get into a lot of problems just by one act of evil. And that's the reason why you need to understand it's a fearful sin to fall into the hands of the living God. I pray God will preserve our lives. We're going to get to that heaven. The Lord has gone to prepare a place for you, and you must be there. I said you must be there. Get rid of those things. Get rid of those things. Little drops of water make a mighty ocean. You know, the mind is like, you know, the scientists will tell you, and the psychologists will tell you, that in our brain we have cells, and those cells are connected. That's why when we hear, we remember. When we see, it registered on our mind. And those cells, the way they are connected, is like when there is maybe a bush path. If you are walking on that bush path every day, you'll make such a road there, almost concrete, almost tarred. It'll be very clear. When you have an action of disobedience every day, you repeat it, it makes a pass in your subconscious that almost unconsciously you'll be doing it later. That's the reason why I cut it off from the very beginning. That no, that's sin, I'll not do that. That's evil, I'll not do that. That's disobedience, I will not do that. That's going to lead me to a dangerous sin, a dangerous habit, I'll not do that. In Hebrews chapter 12, I'm reading from verse 25. See that she refused not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not, who refused him that spake on earth? Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice there shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaking, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and what? Tell me out loud. And godly fear. When last did you have godly fear in serving the Lord? When last did you have godly fear in preaching the word of God? When last did you have godly fear in ministering, reverence, respect and honor, exalting the name of the Lord and forgetting yourself? For our God is a consuming fire. Point number three, watchfulness and endurance through constant perseverance. Watchfulness, you are going to watch. I said you are going to watch over your soul, over your spirit, over your heart, over your action, over your life, over your family, over the word of God. Watch. In Matthew chapter 24, I'm reading there from verse 24 and 25. Matthew chapter 24, we're looking at verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I pray they will not deceive you. Behold, I have told you before. Watch. Let's look at Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, I'm going to read from verse 33. Take heed, watch and pray. For ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore. You know those children of Israel that came out of Egypt and they didn't get to the land of Canaan? They didn't watch. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They didn't watch. They thought because they saw Moses every day. They didn't understand the difference between them, the distance between them and Moses. And Moses said, come, I need to talk to you. They said, we are not coming. You make yourself a lord, a ruler over the people. You say you are taking us to the land of promise, a land that is filled with milk and honey. Where is the land? All this food we're eating, just manna, we're fed up with this. We are not going to come. And Moses said, oh Lord, don't accept their sacrifice. Oh Lord, don't accept their person. Oh Lord, don't accept anything from them. And those people, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, died prematurely, and they went to hell alive. You know, Elijah went to heaven alive. Enoch went to heaven alive. But these ones, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they asked open and swallowed them up. They went to hell alive. Because they were not watching. And the Lord is saying, watch over yourself, my brother. Watch over yourself, my sister. When you came to the kingdom of God, you came because of heaven. You came because of what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary. And all the other things that may come after. Privilege of ministry. Privilege of preaching. And privilege of having this or having that in the kingdom of God. All that is privilege. Watch yourself. And Jesus Christ said, take heed and watch and pray. For ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a journey. He left his house and he gave authority to his servants, to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore. For ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest he come, let's come in suddenly, he find you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. We're going to watch. I said we're going to watch. Matthew chapter 26, and we're reading there from verse 41. Watch and pray. You know, there are many people that pray, but they don't watch, are careless, and they think it's only prayer. Watch and pray. There are some people, they'll fast and pray, fast, pray, fast, pray. They're fasting and praying almost every time, but they're not watching. Words coming out of their mouth, no control. The places they go, no checking. And the books they read, they don't watch anything. And the friends they have, they don't watch, they only pray. Prayer alone will not do it. Watch. Watch and pray. You know, sometimes, whatever their mind suggests at a particular, they just go ahead and do it. Whatever the mind is pumping out, they just suck it in and suck it up. But it says, watch and pray, that she enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Luke chapter 21. And I'm reading here from verse 34. Luke 21, verse 34. And take heed to yourselves. That's watching. Take heed to yourselves. Lest at any time. You know, the time of success, that's part of the time. The time of victory, that's part of the time. The time when everything is going on well for you, that's part of the time. The time when you think, now I can relax. Remember David? It was a time of war, the time of battle. And all the kings were going to war, but David decided he was going to relax at that time. David decided he was going to just stay back home at that time. He wasn't going to overlabor himself at that time now, because after all, I've killed Goliath, I've killed the Philistines. After all, everybody knows that I am mighty and a great conqueror, waxing stronger and stronger. He didn't watch. All that time, he was then looking from the pavement of his house. You know the rest of the story, and that man, his life was bright and beautiful, but that one single case made a blot, a stain upon his life. He wasn't watching. Watch! Anytime, every time, victory time, sorrowful time, sad time, difficult times, tough times, watch every time. That's why the Lord said, take heed yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and what? Pray always. You are that person, you are going to pray always. You know, it doesn't have to be a long prayer at a particular time. Before you get out of the house, Lord, watch over me. Watch over my word. Direct me. You know the future. You know the end of the day from the beginning. I don't know what I'm going to meet, but help me. Watch over me. I want to go out safe. I want to come back safe and still retain all the grace of God in my life. And Lord, I pray that all the consecration, dedication, and the commitment I've ever made, I want to keep everything intact until you come. Watch over me today. And when you come back in the evening, thank you, Lord. You pray again, and you thank the Lord again. Just like that, day after day, and you'll make it eventually. Watch it therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. You will stand. You will not fall. Nothing will push you down, and nothing will drag you down. You are going to stand until the very end in Jesus' name. Because that place Jesus has gone to prepare for you, you are going to be there. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 20, I'm reading from verse 28. Acts of the Apostles chapter 20, verse 28. Take it therefore to yourselves and to all the flock. Take it therefore unto yourself and to all the flock, and to all the flock, and to all the flock. Brothers and sisters, this is the responsibility the Lord has given to your pastor. all those who are listening to me in the various locations, this is the responsibility, duty the Lord has given to your overseer, to your pastor, to your leader, to take heed to themselves and to all the flock. And you know, sometimes, you know, the pastor is coming to that section, the section of the women, and I say, oh, what's the pastor doing here? What's the pastor looking for here? Is to watch over you, that section too. Sometimes it's coming to the children section, and then the children leaders are saying, what's the matter with the pastor? Has he finished all his work in the adult church? What's he doing with the children section? And then they begin to behave one way or the other so that he will get away from them. That's part of his word. He should take it to all the flock, all the sections of the world. And sometimes he goes to the youth section. And that's what you should do. Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, and which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. You will not be their disciple. You will be the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 31, therefore watch and remember, watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years, I cease not one, how many people? Tell me out loud. Everyone. Look up here, brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes, you know, the people who want to do evil, and they don't want any check, any control, they kind of make themselves incorrigible. And then they say, don't touch me, don't watch over me, I'm okay by myself. Don't fulfill your responsibility over me, let me go my own way. You know, there are people that did that in the time of Moses, and he just said, Moses, don't touch me, don't talk to me, don't direct me. You can talk to all the other people, but me, leave me alone. Again, I come back to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. When you get to the point, you don't want the pilot to fly you to the promised land. You don't want the driver to drive you to the land flowing with milk and honey. You don't want somebody that will check you and say, don't go that way, don't go that way. And you make yourself untouchable, incorrigible, that nobody can talk to you. That's very, very dangerous. I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. And now, brethren, brothers and sisters, I commend you to God. I said, I'm handing you over to God. He will take care of you. He will protect you. He will see that you will not fall. And every need of your life, every grace you need, all the godliness you need, he'll give it to you in Jesus' name. And I commit you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. You will not be destroyed, you'll be built up. You'll be plucked up, you'll be built up. You'll not be rooted out, you'll be built up. And nothing will take you away from the place that God has given you in the kingdom. You'll be built up in Jesus' name. And you'll be given an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. That's your place. Stay in that place. Great will be your reward in heaven. Remember, watch and pray and hold on. Endure till the very end. If Jesus comes before we meet again, we'll meet at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's rise up and commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer. The grace of God is available for you. The strength of the Lord is available for you. And the eyes of the Lord are watching over you. He doesn't want you to fall. He doesn't want you to fail. He's going to see you through to the very edge. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. Talk to the Lord in prayer. He'll stay with you. He'll abide with you. He'll not leave you. He'll not forsake you. He'll stay with you to the very edge. His grace is available. take heed to the warning. Watch, pray, submit yourself. Don't make your watchman to be afraid of you. It will not help you. Don't become incorrigible. It will not help you. Don't make the shepherd to be afraid of the sheep. It will not help you when the lion comes. Don't make your pastor, your preacher, to be afraid of you. It will not help the membership of the church. Don't become bold in sin, bold in evil, bold in the way of backsliding, bold in pushing away your teacher, bold in pushing away the person that can correct you. It will not help you. You need a guiding hand that will lead you on in your way. Don't stay so far away. Get near where the shepherd can see you, where your leader can see you, where he can guide you. Make up your mind. You're going to serve the Lord to the very end. My heart is fit to gorge on thee. No more my feet shall go astray. I've got a glimpse of Calvary, and now I walk with Christ every day. One time I wandered far away. I did not heed the shepherd's voice. My heart on God is fixed today. For he is my eternal choice. Submit yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord. Make heaven your goal. Have a soft heart. Have a gentle spirit. Have a lowly attitude. You need help. You need guidance. You need encouragement. You need counseling. You need teaching. Make yourself available to be taught. Don't make your teacher afraid of you. My heart is fixed. My face is set upon the prize that lies before. All other claims I will reject. My heart is fixed forevermore. No longer tossed upon the waves of sin and doubt, but now I sail within the boat like boat Jesus saves. No storms against me shall prevail. My heart is fixed to God on thee. My eyes are now on things above. From worldly yokes, praise God, I'm free. My heart overflows with joy and with love. Commit yourself to the Lord. Don't be among the people that look back. Among the people that draw back. Among the people that turn back. Be among the people that keep on obeying the Lord, believing the Lord, trusting the Lord, consecrating to the Lord, committing yourself to the Lord until the dawning of the day. Yielded fully to the Lord until the end of time. Surrendered unto the Lord until the end of time. Lay your hands on the plow and never looking back until the end of time. Holding on to the doctrines of the Bible, all the doctrines till the very edge. Preaching the totality of the Word of God. Willing to hear the totality of the Word of God. Willing to submit to the totality of the Word of God until the very edge. And that which you've got already. Repentance, righteousness, restitution, salvation, a new heart, a heart of flesh, that which you've got already, you hold fast until it comes. You make a commitment, a consecration, that will not draw back, turn back, look back, or get away from the Lord. You pray that God will help you, that you will not be a castaway. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the very edge, the same shall be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. People of God, are you there? In Jesus' name we pray. Help me wake up those who are sleeping. In Jesus' name we pray. The Lord bless every one of you. His face shine upon every one of you. And the strength of the Lord keep you to the very end. In Jesus' name. That heaven, you will get there. Your reward, you will not lose your reward. Every good thing you have done in the kingdom of God, God will never forget. In this life, He will reward you. And in the world to come, He's going to reward you in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because you have told us that you want us to get to heaven, and we know you have the power. You have the ability, and we know you are going to take us there. All we need is just to tell you how weak we are, and for you to hold our hand and to take us there. Oh Lord, help us and give us sufficient grace so that we can be there in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that whatever your people have done, any of your people in the past, that you're unhappy with them. I pray, Lord, you take away that unhappiness and anger from them in Jesus' name. When you said you are going to destroy those children of Israel, Moses prayed, and Lord, you said you have mercy on them. I'm praying that upon your people here today and everywhere listening now, your mercy will flow to every life. Your compassion will flow to every life. Your love will flow to every life. And your guiding hand will keep on guiding everyone in Jesus' name. We want to get to that land, to that promised land. Take us there, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all the supplies we need, all the grace we need, all the godliness we need, all the holiness we need, all the righteousness we need to be able to get there. You are the great sanctifier. Sanctify everyone. Purify everyone and fill our hearts with your grace and godliness and glory in Jesus' name. All the other physical, material things we need to make life convenient for us so that we'll never look back or never look to the world. Supply in every life in Jesus' name. And I pray that with joy, gladness, happiness, we'll keep on moving on until we get there. You're giving us all these doctrines of the Bible is a great favor upon us in this church. And we pray all these things you've given us, the teaching of the word, we'll never forsake them. We'll not diminish them. We'll not add unto them. We're going to keep on holding on to them till the very end in Jesus' name. Keep your people, Lord. New provision in the new year, a new joy in the new year, new success in the new year, a new victory, a new progress in the new year in Jesus' name. We're asking, oh Lord, that you will do something, something, something very great for everyone before we go. Confirm it in every life, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.